Hey everyone, welcome to That's Not Proper, and I'm your host, Corey Asuncion.
Hey, I'm going to start off this podcast a little bit differently this week. I want to share with you a nonprofit organization called ABC Diabetics. Their website is abcdiabetics.org, abcdiabetics.org. Their mission is to provide life-changing diabetic supplies and enrich life experiences to families lacking adequate financial resources. Through the generosity of their donors, they can bridge the financial gap to provide a fun and improved quality of life for children and young adults living with diabetes. If you are interested in finding out more about their mission, please go to their website. Or if you are interested in donating, you can call 650-440-4306 to get involved. If you are someone who is in need of diabetic supplies and are struggling to make ends meet, please go to their website and contact them, and they will see how they are able to help you. They are able to ship supplies all across the United States. When I initially started recording this episode, I was enraged and emotional, and I feel like I was totally justified in that. However, after recording about roughly 15 minutes or so, I deleted it because I thought, you know what? There's some stuff that I'm discussing here that is important and I'm still going to discuss, but I'm going to divert the main focus. I am going to give a little backstory though. So recently my mother had shared a post on Facebook, and it was just like a photo post that somebody else had created. And above it, she had said something to the effect of, "This hurts my heart." Now this post was a photo, and all it said was the name of a country and a number, a dollar amount. And what it was referencing was the cost of insulin or insulin pens in varying countries and how vastly different it was here in the United States. So it said, you know, Italy and Greece and things like that. And all these other countries, there wasn't anything. I don't think any of them were above maybe $100. Some of them were zero. Some of them were like $30. But it said that in the U.S. it was $700. Well, so some people had commented on that post and were just saying why and asking questions. And I had posted a couple things on there that explain what the actual cost to produce insulin was and explained that the reason for the extreme cost in America, I believe, is greed and power and whatnot, not empathy, not compassion, not concern for the health and welfare of individuals, but power and greed. Well, some person, I'm going to go ahead and leave out his name, said, and I quote, "That's not true at all. I am type 1D, which means type 1 diabetic. You can buy a vial for $80 at most pharmacies. This is left-wing bullshit propaganda, fucking lies, which you are now spreading. Happy day, people." Now, I was enraged, and here's why I was enraged. What many may not know, some of you do, some of you don't, I am the mother to two type 1 diabetic sons. My son, who is now 15, was diagnosed at the age of 3, on his third birthday, in fact, and my other son, who is now 12, was diagnosed around the age of 4.5. I have some very intimate experience with being the mother of a type 1 diabetic. I have some very intimate experience with the costs associated with being a type 1 diabetic. Just to impart a little bit of knowledge, and understanding for those who may not understand type 1 diabetes. My son's pancreas does not produce insulin. Insulin is necessary to continue living. If my sons do not have insulin, they will die. That is not an exaggeration. That is fact. If my sons do not have the insulin in their bodies, which we have to inject via manual injection or their insulin pumps, they actually will truly die. And the type of death that it would be painful. It would be horrible. It is rough. Diabetes is no joke. A few months back, we ran into some issues with regards to the insulin that was needed for my sons. And these issues actually had nothing to do with me. I was doing everything I possibly could because I am an advocate for my children. And I will push hard and I will fight like you would not believe in order to make sure that they are safe and healthy. And what had occurred, I don't even know exactly, but somewhere between the doctor's office, the insurance company, and the company that ships us our supplies, there were some errors that were occurring repeatedly over a couple of months. And there isn't much I could do other than call repeatedly and say, hey, we don't have insulin. We don't have insulin. We don't have insulin. And so thankfully, I had a little bit of back stock of insulin, but it had gotten down to the point where my sons only had about, I would say, maybe a quarter of a vial to share between the two of them. Now, my sons each go through roughly 3 vials of insulin a month. So that's a total of roughly 6 vials of insulin a month. Sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less, but on the average, it's a total of 6 vials between the two of them. So that means 1/4 of a vial, which was all I had at that point, between the two of them, would give them enough insulin, I would say, for approximately a day and a half, maybe. And so obviously this is panic now. I have been panicking for a while, but this is some serious panic. And I usually try not to panic about these types of things in front of my kids. And I think we've done a pretty good job, especially when it comes down to the diabetes. They understand that if they don't have insulin, they'll die. They do understand that. And so it was a lot of phone calls and yelling and all of that kind of stuff because now, you know, Mama Bear had come out. I was enraged. And my sons were obviously seeing this. And whether or not I regret that, I don't know. I think they need to understand when there is a time to push hard when it comes down to things like that. But to see my son, one of my sons especially, who had now great fear that if we didn't get insulin, he was going to die. I can't even begin to explain how painful that is to see in the eyes of your child. He was really good about asking, hey, Mom, did they get it yet? Did they get it yet? Are we going to get it? Do we have enough? And then now, since this situation had occurred, he's constantly checking to make sure there's enough insulin so that he can continue on living. At any rate, what had happened was there's this huge screw up, and I needed that insulin, and I needed it now. And so the doctor's office said, okay, you know what we'll do instead? Let's just try this. Let's go ahead and we'll call a local pharmacy and you can just go pick it up. Just at least some insulin for now. Because like I said, our supplies are shipped to us automatically every month because of the mass amount of supplies that are needed. It works better to have them shipped. Not only that, a lot of pharmacies are just weird about how they deal with insulin supplies and pump supplies and all that. And like I said, it is a mass amount. So we have them shipped to us. That works best for our doctor's office and for us as well. At any rate, so they had to take that prescription that had already been sent to another pharmacy, the pharmacy that ships our supplies, and send it to Walmart. Walmart couldn't get it to pass through because of the system already showing it was with another company, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, I said, screw it. I'm done with this. Tell me how much this insulin is. I'm going to walk in and purchase just one vial because I know this will get worked out. But the thing is my sons could possibly pass in those few days that it takes for you people to get this worked out. And the woman on the other line of the phone at the pharmacy at Walmart, her voice changed. And she got quiet. And I said again, how much is it going to cost for me to just walk down there right now? You have the prescription. How much is it going to cost me to just purchase this one vial of insulin? And she paused and she said, $1,000. At that moment, I immediately broke down in tears. I am not a super emotional person. I don't really like people to see me cry. I'm emotional in the sense that I have empathy and compassion, but I don't just like bust out crying in front of people. I don't do that. And even if I do have a moment of tears, I like to get over it really fast. This one broke me. I had to really gather myself. You know, my family was seeing this. I was trying to leave the room so that they didn't see me in this emotional state. And the reason why it broke me was not because I didn't think I could not get together $1,000. I don't have $1,000 just laying around. I knew I could figure it out. We have a large support system. I knew that I could get it together. But what broke me was the idea of how many people, children specifically is what I was thinking of, in this country need this insulin but cannot afford it. It broke me. There was a period of time where for us, something as simple as $80 might have meant that I wasn't getting my children fed that week. And so this killed me to think, are you serious? Somebody actually would have to come down there and pay $1,000 in order for their children to live, but it might not even matter because their children couldn't even eat that week. So back to this ignorant man's post or comment on my mother's post. I was so enraged. It took every ounce of patience and restraint within me to not just rip this man to shreds. I had to stop and think, okay, so this guy's obviously a fool. He's obviously a moron. I could go on and on. And what was even more frustrating to think was this man was a type 1 diabetic. And he's spewing this vile, hateful stuff. And oh, by the way, turning it all of a sudden political. And it's completely inaccurate. And the reason why I know for a fact that it's inaccurate was because I had literally just experienced the fact, by the way, that it could cost me $1,000 out of pocket to pay for a vial of insulin that could save my child's life. Over the past several years, I really had to learn how to not be reactive with my emotions. I am really good at it. I'm really good at being reactive. But I have learned, I don't know if it's age or what, that being reactive emotionally, even if it's justifiable, is rarely beneficial. And so in this situation, my first thought, besides rip this man to shreds, was what can I do now to turn this to be a learning experience, maybe a little bit for this guy, but also for myself. What can I glean from this? What can I do from this, you know, point in this situation? And I think the first thing I thought of after calming down was not engaging a fool. Have you ever watched someone have an argument? And you see them on Facebook, people share them all the time, videos or whatever. You watch someone have an argument and you see both sides maybe, or you see one side and you're like, okay, those are some really valid points. I understand why this person's angry. But you then see the evolution of it. And then they act like morons. And then they're calling each other names and hurting each other at the core. And the topic is now lost and it makes no sense anymore. And it's obvious that, you know, one of these people, if not both of them, aren't hearing each other. They're not there for understanding. Now they're just there out of an emotional rant. And the point of the matter is completely lost. And it's lost on the person. And it makes no sense to continue to engage because that person likely will never even hear. And so pretty quickly with this post and the comments, I saw that this guy was going to become just like that. He was going to be, and actually was, passive aggressive and nasty and vile and turning it very political. And really just, my impression was, oh, this guy's a horrible, horrible human being. And it was obvious that he wasn't going to hear anything, whether it was factual or not. There was nothing that was going to be heard or understood. There was no way to come together and have some sort of communication that was going to be based on the intent of understanding. And so I just stopped. I wasn't going to reply anymore. And again, Facebook arguments are so goofy. Anyhow, I caught myself pretty quick and was like, okay, this man is a fool. And to continue on with him anymore at all would start to turn and I would become a fool, because I could also feel myself getting hot and enraged. And I thought, ooh, this is what he wants. And I was not going to give that to him. So after this social media exchange that I had, it made me really realize how common it is, especially when we're talking about social media and you have, you know, your keyboard warriors. And the issue with people speaking on and discussing and voicing their opinion on topics that maybe they have no actual understanding on, and they put it out there as though it was fact. In addition to that, the things that they do when they do this and the people that they may be greatly offending, because I'll tell you what, I was offended by this. I was insulted. And yes, I can choose to be or to not be offended. But the issue was, the offense was not just to me, not just to my mother, but it was to my sons. It was to other people that struggle with invisible illnesses. It was offensive to people who are in financially stressful situations. It was an insult to other type 1 diabetics. It was an insult on a greater scale than I think this fool could have possibly ever comprehended. In all honesty, I'm pretty certain this guy could care less if he was being offensive. And that's the issue, I think, with a lot of people. They could really just give a shit if they're offensive or not. I, however, care. I am a firm believer in standing up for the marginalized and oppressed. I am a firm believer in standing your ground on what you know to be the truth. But I'm also a really firm believer in speaking that which you know about. And so you cannot just say that your thoughts are truth. You need to make sure that you've researched and it's fact-based. And so that means when you see these posts and these comments and these graphics and these news articles from whichever side of the front that you are on, research to find out if there's anything that's actually factual. I do that with everything. I am not a Republican. I am not right wing. I am also not a Democrat, and I am not left wing. I'm truth. Is that even a thing that exists in the political arena? I don't know. But if I see something, I am going to research to find out if this is factual. And if I can't find anything that backs it up, I'm not going to spread it around. And so I encourage other people in the same way. If you have an opinion on something, and if you have a stance on something, research it, gain some understanding, find out if your opinion is based on anything that is factual before you go around spreading your whatever shit on everybody else. I'm not really in the business of desiring to clean off your shit off of me. It's a real simple thing. You know, recently there was a post I was reading about, you know, something that was, well, controversial. And I wanted to find out the truth on it. It literally took me like 3 seconds to find out whether this was fact-based or opinion-based. It's not like I spend hours and hours and researching on absolutely every topic that I happen to see come across, a social media page. But a lot of the times it takes but a moment. It is not that difficult. So I really encourage other people to do the same thing, especially if it's something that you feel passionate about. Research. Find out the truth. Don't just read the articles and the memes and all of those things that are coming from solely your only arena. Because obviously, let's take for example, let's say you're a Republican and all you read is Fox News. Well, the thing is obviously it's going to be biased. So why would you want to be the fool who spreads around solely biased information? There is a pretty good chance that you're missing out and not having some understanding on both sides. Research. Look all over. Look at both sides. See if you can find out the truth in there. Because I'm pretty certain you're going to find out some information that maybe you have not considered before. And so the reason why I push this a little bit is for this situation that I dealt with. This person was not under a very good understanding, obviously, of what was fact. Because here, I had experienced a situation that was polar opposite of the shit that he was spewing all over the place. And my concern was, when I read that, was how many people are going to take this information that he's given? And here he was over the age of 60, I think, I'm not 100% certain about his age, white man who lives in a predominantly wealthy area. And so I'm willing to bet some people are going to listen to what he has to say and take it as fact. And there's a really large portion of certain generations that tend to believe predominantly white men over the age of, say, 50, and believe that everything that they say or do or every comment, post, or meme is factual. And that's not always entirely accurate. Now, I definitely don't run around correcting every, you know, comment, post, meme, or conversation that I have where I see someone saying something totally inaccurate. But when I do see it's something totally inaccurate and that it is something that is maybe a topic that I've addressed before or I've discussed or I have a great understanding of, then I will say something, especially when you're talking about marginalized groups, people that are being oppressed, people with, say, for example, invisible illnesses and things like that. There is a time to stand up and correct people. But I think that it can be done in a way that is kind, that is loving, that is informative, that is made it obvious that you are standing your ground, you're firm in your opinion, and that you cannot be moved, but that you're also willing to have a conversation so that you can gain some understanding to maybe correct misconceptions on both sides. When you are dealing with someone, though, who has obviously got no desire to communicate, just wants to scream out, you know, vile, hateful things. Yeah, it's probably better to just let that one go, but make a mental note, hey, this is an issue. I'm going to make sure that within my life and in my circle with my children or family or whatever, that I make a point to stand up for these things that are truthful, to put down and address the things that are not, so that at least the lives that I am affecting intimately can go forward in truth instead of becoming like this group of people we are seeing here in society now who are continuing to spread lies and misinformation and hurt people on a very regular basis. I have a lot of family members that have very different belief systems than I do, very different political views and stances than I do. And it's taken some time, but I'm actually able now to come together with some of these people and have conversations, even though we have very opposite understandings and beliefs and both of us are very firm in what we believe, and still have these conversations in love and be able to walk away after having a beer and maybe a shot of tequila, whatever, and hug each other and still love each other, knowing that we can come together, we can communicate our own personal views and opinions, knowing that we can walk away and still love one another. In addition to that, I'm able to walk away with an understanding. Sometimes my understanding is, okay, you know what? I still don't agree with them, but I see why they feel this way. And so my motivation then is to find a way to eradicate that feeling, to find a way for them to move past that feeling so that they can see truth, or maybe even come to the side of understanding so that we can move forward. I don't think that we all need to have the same exact beliefs and opinions, but I do think that we all, every single one of us, need to find a way to come together and communicate in love and understanding. There is no way there is going to be progression or change in our society if we all come at each other with hate and vile words. It's just not possible. I know with my personality, if you come at me and you're attempting to get me to change my mind on something and you come at me in an attack mode, oh, there's a wall up. I don't care what you have to say. You could be spilling out the truth all over the place, and I don't even care. It doesn't matter to me anymore. I can't hear you. And on the topic of letting go, sometimes it's just better to let go. And it's better to let go sometimes because the continuation of a harmful conversation or whatever it is that you've got going on, if it's only going to bring about harm to everybody, well, it's probably better to just let it go. And then maybe there'd be an opportunity at a later date to discuss it or address it or come together. But if you're only going to harm yourself, and what I mean by harm yourself is if you're getting angry, if you're getting reactive, if you're getting vile, even when you're speaking truth, if you're harmful in it, it is no longer beneficial. And so if in dealing with other people that have opposing views, or that maybe their views are completely and totally not factual, the only way to communicate with that person is by being hateful and vile and harmful, well, it's no good. So it's better to let that go. Let that person be a fool. Do not become a fool like them. I have this reoccurring theme, I think, within all of these podcasts, and that's that we do really need to find a way to communicate and gain understanding between differing opinions and lifestyles and cultures and society. We need to be able to come together in love and understanding because there isn't going to be any change. And what I mean by coming together in love and understanding is that we are not seeking just to have our voice heard, but we are seeking to understand as well. And if you've got two parties where both are coming together in love and both want to be understood and they want to understand, the only thing that can do is bring about good change, bring about communication, bring about an evolution of perpetuating understanding in societies and in your children and your relationships and your families. How is that not just a wonderful thing? Thank you for listening in today on That's Not Proper. Please subscribe, share, follow, comment, review That's Not Proper on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. Take a look at my Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, That's Not Proper, and email me with any comments, concerns, questions, or ideas for topics that you may have at thatsnotproperCorey@gmail.com. Please don't forget that at the beginning of this podcast, I had mentioned abcdiabetics.org. They are doing some wonderful things to help bridge that financial gap for families that are struggling and have diabetes.